Welcome back to the Gaming News Canada show, and yes, I am your host, Steve McAllister. It's a very busy time of year for the folks at SBC, the organizers of next week's SBC Summit North America in Secaucus, New Jersey, and along with the Canadian Gaming Association, the co-hosts of the Canadian Gaming Summit, which will take place June 18th to 20th at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. The two conferences bring together a veritable who's who of North American sports betting and gaming industry, not to mention pretty much everyone else working in the business. And just a reminder, for tickets and other information on both conferences, please visit sbcevents.com on the internet. To help set the table for the summits on both sides of the border, we bring back to the show a lifetime member of the Friends of Gaming News Canada Club, the Vice President of Growth and Strategy Americas for SBC, Sue Schneider. Hey, Sue, how's that for an introduction?
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I am a lifetime member, so glad you worked that one in.
Yeah, well, always great to have you, Sue. And it's, you know, we do this interview this week, having spoken with Will Hill on the podcast that went out on Tuesday morning. And when I think of what we've done in covering the industry over the past three and a half years now, people like yourself and Will, Paul Burns, Amanda Brewer, Chris Abbott, there've been a small group of people who have been really supportive and have always been generous with their time to talk about the industry, and you're certainly at the top of the list. So we appreciate having you on the podcast.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Hey, so I'd like to start with next week's summit in Secaucus, New Jersey. On a personal note, it's going to be the first time in 4 years that I'm not going to be at the SBC North America Summit. And the conference will always have a soft spot or a special place in my heart, because it really is where I think I cut my teeth as a journalist covering this industry back in December 2021 when I attended the summit for the first time, kind of right in the middle of COVID. And as I often tell people, one of the highlights of my professional career is representing Parlay Media Group and presenting at the first pitch competition on behalf of the company and winning that competition along with Chris Adams and the great people at Sharp Rank. And at that time, having a chance to meet people like yourself and Bob McFarland at SBC and Benji Cherniak had come on board as an investor at that time and had a chance to meet Chris Grove for the first time in person there. So like I said, that summit will always be special to me. But again, it almost feels like a signal that summer is just around the corner, Sue. The weather always seems to be nice outside the Meadowlands Exposition Center. You know, it's a great vibe inside the center. It's kind of fun being outside where the weather's starting to be a little bit warm and you can walk around in shirt sleeves. But this is a huge conference. I mean, 5,000 delegates expected next week, some 300 speakers on the panels over the 3 days of the summit. Going to have north of 75 exhibitors. And as someone who's been in the industry for a long time, where does the summit kind of rank among your highlights or special events in your year?
Well, it's right up there. I mean, it's grown tremendously. It's been fun to really to watch that growth and see how people have taken to it. I think, you know, it's interesting with SBC, having had a past life running events with my own business, watching SBC. I mean, I think the differentiators are it's really what we continue to call an all-inclusive approach. So we'll take care of you pretty much from morning till night. And I always tell people that might be first time attendees to make sure that you keep your evenings open to go to our events, because, so, you know, a lot of people will get set up dinners or whatever, but then you miss out. And we've got some good ones planned this time. As you know, at that December event that you were just referring to, we took over MetLife Stadium, and we're going to do a similar thing with activation, only this time for soccer, which is finally coming around to my sport. I sucked at the football field goal attempts, but maybe I'll do better at soccer. So we're taking over Red Bull Arena on Wednesday night, It's also our Hall of Fame induction night. So, you know, there's a lot of fun things to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evening. So, we, you know, that's one helpful hint that I always give people. And then this year we've, in addition to Tuesday being a pre-conference area where we cover some compliance issues in the morning and in the afternoon, we do player protection. And then on Monday, we're launching a new thing that's a capital markets forum. Right. And we're going to be doing that at the New York Stock Exchange. And then, you know, we'll be able to go on the trading floor for drinks afterwards, which will be kind of unique. So, you know, we have some new things that we're adding into the event. It's really essentially, you know, 4 solid days of programming this time because we've continued to add additional things on.
Hey, Sue, how did the evolution of the event and even in the short time I've been involved in the industry, you see how the summit changes every year with the programming and networking opportunities. But how do those changes happen? I mean, is there a postmortem immediately after the summit? Like what kind of input do you and Bob McFarland and Christian Robolino and the other people at SBC get to make these changes?
Well, it's a couple things. One is that we always send out surveys afterwards to see what people like, what they didn't like. And then we do a debrief internally with that information as well as our own perceptions afterwards. So, yeah, we tinker with every event. You know, so it is an opportunity to respond back to the industry and see what things that they, you know, want us to change or keep or adapt in some way. So it's a learning process every time to try to keep it as responsive as possible.
Yeah, one conversation that Bob and I and maybe even you that we've had at this summit the last couple of years is always as the exposition center of the Meadowlands become too small. And I know that's probably a debate that you have internally, but it's such an intimate place. And I do really like the feeling that you can walk from one end of the center to the exhibition hall to the other. And you always bump into people. And that's one of the things I like about that venue is knowing that, you know, if you're late getting to a panel discussion, you're only a 90 second walk to it. And just that feeling that if you kind of walk up and down the floor, you're going to bump into people in every aisle.
That is true. That has been the good thing, but that for us has been like a starter home. And we, as you said, we have outgrown it. So keep your ears open. We may have some things to talk about in that regard this time. But yeah, I think the other thing that I think is important is we do have this SBC Connect Plus app that is part of this. And it's helpful because if you have attended and, you know, when we've got 5 or 6 sessions going on at any one time, it's hard to get to everything you want to see. So we do have the ability then to be able to see that after the event and catch up on those, that content that you didn't get to. And then it's also a great way, you know, we work with, some definite tools to be able to go in and, you know, you want to research payment providers or you want to research affiliates or whatever, that you can go in and see who's there and connect with them, which is really important as the event grows.
Yeah, I think that app and also the website are really important, Sue. And the one lesson I've learned over covering these conferences is just the importance of trying to basically making sure you create your own calendar and panels that you absolutely want to get to and planning your day, because it's real easy to let that get away from you if you don't have some structure to the day, because every day is jam-packed.
Well, that's a really good point. I recently spoke down at South by Southwest, if you've ever heard of that event down at Certainly. Austin, which is now enormous.
Right.
350,000 people, 8 days. And I learned very quickly that 48 hours is not long enough. And you really have to do some homework to really get the most out of it. So, you know, I think anytime you get into an event that's starting to grow, that you really need to take advantage of those tools and do that homework ahead of time. So that's a good suggestion.
And as per your earlier point, Sue, about the networking opportunities in the evening, I think that even carries more relevance, because if you do want to see those panels, and I couldn't agree more. I think that as great as the panels are, the most value to attending these summits is the opportunity to network. And one thing I've certainly seen in this industry is just how accessible people are. And it doesn't matter if you're CEO of a company or a salesperson or someone working in IT, people in this industry are very, very willing to speak with you. So, you know, it's not uncommon to be able to walk up to a CEO at a networking event in the evenings and having a conversation for 5 or 6 minutes with that person.
Yeah. And some of those we try to facilitate through some special meetups. So we've got Global Gaming Network, Global Gaming Women, Breakfast Again, Mimosa Breakfast, I'll point out for those that like that. We've got a Tribal Gaming Breakfast on Thursday morning. We have African Americans in Gaming that Better Collective is hosting at their booth. So, we try to facilitate some of those get-togethers by topic or by even by state. You know, we've got some roundtables, things like that. So for us, it's really community building. And sometimes you need to break that down into some of those specialty areas. And that's really critical.
I think the other thing too, Sue, is just, it's the summit's fun. I mean, I don't know whose idea this was at the beginning, but just the things like having the ice cream sandwiches in the afternoon and the donut stands and sometimes we forget we're so serious about the day-to-day work and having to do business and getting deals done. But the one thing I love about the summit, and this is something that SBC has brought to the Canadian Gaming Summit, is just being able to cheat a little bit and have a donut and a cappuccino in the afternoon and chat to a couple of people. And that's something that SBC takes the fun factor very seriously with running these conferences.
Yeah. You'd be amazed how many people bring up that donut wall. It's a big hit.
Do you know who deserves credit for that?
No.
We'll have to find out.
Have to find that out. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get that person on the podcast at the Canadian Gaming Summit.
There you go.
Hey, Sue, the other thing I want to talk to you about, and I know it maybe is a tired question for you, but you've been a pioneer, I think, in leading the charge on this, and that this is providing more opportunities for the women in the industry. And I remember, I think it was the first summit in 2021, I was writing a column for the Toronto Star in the early days of the legal sports betting and gaming in Canada. And I was writing about women in the industry from the summit, and I ran into Chantal Cipriano from PointsBet on the morning I was filing my column. And she gave me this anecdote about someone from the industry walking up to a table of women, including herself, and making a bit of a smart ass comment about asking that they were talking about their kids or something. And it was a kind of, on one hand, it was sad to hear that. On the other hand, as a journalist, it kind of made the perfect antidote to lead the column about an industry that sometimes got a bad rap when it came to women. And it does feel to me at the point against you, you've been a leader in these kind of receptions, I guess, morning receptions at the SBC summits and bringing women together. And it's something that Justin Park and I talked about, Justin, the CEO of Betty, a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, where Justin was telling me that 40% of the workforce at Betty Gaming is female. But it does feel like there's some tangible strides made in terms of women participating in this industry.
There are, and I would point to something that Kelly Keen, who is a co-founder of All In Diversity Project, and I started during COVID, and we never had, it was just a group, I always called them lady bosses for lack of a better term, but it was CEOs, GMs, founders, board members, MDs, managing directors. And so we have continued to grow that group. And the good news is we have now identified almost 135 women that fit that category. And so we are going to remain, we actually just had a call last week, and we're going to remain informal, but that number is continuing to grow. It's still woefully slow when you look at those numbers being for global and for all aspects of the gaming industry. It's still a low number, but I think it's better that even most of the women that are in there are like, really, there's that many of us. So it's something that I think is moving forward. And actually, in many cases, I think a lot of companies are really striving more to get, female board members and in upper management and things like that. So it's coming along.
Hey, Sue, at those morning get-togethers, I think you usually do it on it's either Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. Like, what are the conversations that you have with other women in the industry? Is it the fact that they're seeing new faces, having a coffee in the morning with everyone else, or are there common complaints about their places in the industry, whether it's a lack of opportunities in the executive suites or other things? But what are some of the conversations that you have with other women?
Well, there is some of that, but I think to be honest, a lot of it is the same thing you would have in any other setting. There are women that are like, you know, they find out, okay, you do this, and they go, oh, we need that in our company. So there's actually, you know, business being done and deal making being done, just as you would expect in a more mixed setting. You know, again, there are stories. There are clearly stories. And I think All In Diversity Project is doing a thing now, is gathering some of those up, because some of them you think, okay, well, it's 2024. You don't really think you're going to be hearing some of these things again. But they still exist, and it's not easy, but it is improving. So that gives us some, you know, positive energy to move things forward.
I hope this question doesn't come across the wrong way, but are we maybe not too far away from not having to have an event like that, not having to bring women together for a morning reception, because there is a feeling that there's equal representation throughout the industry, and you just don't need to do this any longer?
No, I don't think we're anywhere near that at this point. I mean, I would point to, like, for in the startup side of things, I keep reading these statistics. I think Forbes had one that if you look at VC funds, 4% of their funds go to female founders. So, you know, when you see things like that, you think, ooh, we got a lot of work to do still. And we do.
Yeah, it's interesting too. As you're saying that, I'm looking at the agenda for the conference, and the one thing I was going to say is that there are opportunities for people to get in front of investors. But when you look at the people who are speaking on panels as investors or moderating, I mean, it's predominantly male. So it's interesting that you say that, Sue. I do want to ask you, player protection is a hot button topic these days, and it's something that SBC gives a lot of real estate to through the summit. There are player protection symposiums on Tuesday at both the SBC Summit North America and the Canadian Gaming Summit. The one discussion I would love to listen in on next week, and I'll make sure I find it after the conference, and that's Martin Leica, who the end-to-end executive who is going to do a safe bet show with Mark Hicks from the NCAA, I think on Tuesday morning, right, or Tuesday afternoon. That player protection symposium, does it feel like it maybe takes on a greater urgency this year, given all the noise out there around responsible gambling right now?
Absolutely. And you know, whether you're talking advertising, you know, there's just a variety of things that are going on, whether it's adequate funding for programs. I was just talking before I got on here with some folks that are working on the product side. Are there things that these platforms should be doing? You know, why have all the onus on the player? Are there things that from the game standpoint that we should be doing? So, you know, I think there is, if people are smart, they'll deal with this stuff now before you get a heavy hand coming in to basically just ban things, as we've seen, you know, happening in other parts of the world and is beginning to crop up in the Americas. So, and I want to go back to one of my favorite sessions that's coming up too. This will be the third year we've done women in sports related to sports betting. And, you know, I mean, talk about things going crazy in 12 months. If you look at what, you know, both mainly soccer and basketball front at this point, but there are a host of other sports out there where you're seeing women really, you know, the attendance is through the roof, the audience numbers are through the roof. So that's going to be real fun again. That's a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah, and I feel like we're still really just scratching the surface with women's sports here, Sue. And again, Katie Kohler from BetMGM, she certainly has posted the last 5 or 6 months about the increase in women bettors with that operator. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a professional women's hockey league now in North America, and there's obviously a ton of excitement around the inaugural season of that league in Canada. And I think there are going to be opportunities for sports betting partners and for sports bettors to be able to wager on women's hockey moving forward. But there's no denying that the Caitlin Clark effect has been massive. I think just not on NCAA women's basketball or the WNBA, but just women's sports in general.
Yeah, it really has been remarkable to see this. And, you know, and I think operators in particular are seeing, oh, there's a whole nother market there. So you have sites like Betting Ladies by Val Martinez, and they're doing tutorials. And, you know, I mean, there's some education that needs to take place for that other, you know, 50% of potential clients or customers to be you know, educated about just the lingo and how things work and all that. But it's coming. So it's kind of fun to watch that.
And I think in Ontario, Sue, when you look at, you know, according to iGaming Ontario, over 85% of customers are participating in online gaming products, that there's an opportunity to tap into women in that market. And as much as we talk about sports betting on this forum, we are seeing in Ontario that there are a lot of people who online game.
Yeah, it's happening.
So the other thing that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, having a chance to participate in the first pitch competition 3 years ago, and it really seems that SBC's seized on to something pretty cool here. And then there will be, the competition is back next week, and you have five finalists, Edge Sports, StatX Sports, 916 Gaming, Lime Mates, and Thunder. And, you know, it's about a $50,000 prize package to the winner of that competition. But I think the bigger value is just these young companies being able to get in front of the influencers of the industry and potential investors and just to, you know, suppliers and just to meet everybody across the industry.
Yeah. And it's something that we're spending more time on. I will give you a little preview about our global event in Lisbon in the fall, because we're really beefing up the startup side of it. We're going to have some very reasonably priced booths for startups that qualify. We will be doing another kind of a first pitch on steroids. We're doing some investor matchups and a variety of things like that. This industry needs as much innovation and to encourage as much innovation as it can to keep up with what the customers might be looking for. So, you know, as you look at what player demands are, I think I keep running into these 20 somethings that are just so enthusiastic about getting into the industry and have some really great ideas. So it's a question of trying to figure out how to best foster that.
And again, we beat the drum on this all the time, Sue, but I just look at this industry right now and the job opportunities, and it's across so many different sectors. You know, you talk about innovation and product and, you know, then you have compliance and you have content, such a big deal, and the work that, you know, companies like Parlay Media Group have done with the Homestand brand, but also the affiliate media industry as well, and human resources and fintech. And there's just so many places where someone can work in this industry and have a long and very rewarding career.
A word from our sponsor.
Hey there, sports fans. Are you looking for fresh and fun takes on the hottest topics in Canadian sports? Well, we've got just what you need. Introducing Homestand Sports Today, your go-to daily sports newsletter, bringing you the Canadian angle on the hottest NHL, NBA, footy stories, and more right to your inbox. But wait, there's more. Homestand Sports isn't just another text-heavy newsletter. Every story has its own video featuring our talented hosts like me, Albert Vartanian, giving you a newsletter experience like never before. And did I mention it's a free subscription? Subscribe now at homestand.ca.
Now back to the show.
Sue, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was you were inducted into the Sports Betting Hall of Fame during the 2022 summit, and we were able to celebrate that with not only you, but Paul Burns, the president and CEO of the Canadian Gaming Association, who was inducted that year. You're hosting a panel with this year's class next week at the summit. Can you give us a little bit of insight into that?
Yeah, that's been a pleasure of mine to host these. you know, I'm a big fan of recognizing what veterans have done, because a lot of the folks that are in here have been involved with the industry for a number of actually decades in some cases, which is kind of fun to see exactly what they're doing. And then we have someone from FanDuel who is kind of what we started calling the next gen set of Hall of Famers. So, you know, I think our Hall of Fame has really been an interesting process, because in some ways we've had like a number of them that are in there have been Las Vegas sports book related folks for many, you know, from probably the 80s, and some even go back further than that in some cases. So we, you know, that was sort of the breeding ground to begin with. And then, you know, when we had the influx, and then the last 5 years, again, things have just really kind of gotten crazy in terms of the growth. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I got in the business in 95. If you had told me even up until, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years ago, that we would have 38 states that have legalized sports betting, I would say you're crazy. That's not going to happen. So, you know, the growth and the growth is leveling off, and we have to take that into account. But you know, we've been very, very blessed to get some great Hall of Famers. And this class will be no different.
And you're right, Sue, it is important to pay tribute. I mean, this industry didn't just start when PASPA was overturned in 2018. I mean, there was a very, very vibrant gambling industry before that. And it's important to honor those people that kind of, carved the path, and people like yourself who have been involved in the business for an awful long time.
And those folks have the best stories. I will tell you that. I've been very, very blessed to, and now I've gotten to the point every time I go to Las Vegas, I'm happy to sit down to dinner with a lot of those folks, and the best stories.
Yeah, it was
possibly imagine.
It was fun. I was trying to make a lot at last year's conference. I did go to the Hall class panel discussion, and I forget who the fella was and was talking about the, you know, how doing odds back then. And it's that piece of the business, I'm sure, has changed so dramatically, especially with the boom and in play betting now. So it was fun to listen to the stories he had to tell. Him, geez, I wish I could remember his name. I think it was the fella from Circus Sports, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, and that's what I find getting back to the new younger folks coming into the industry as startups. They can't get enough of that history, which I love. You know, I think it's good that they really kind of get that base in terms of how it was, and then are able to compare that with how it is now. So it's fun.
And so I just want to move in, and we only have you for a few more minutes, and talk quickly about the Canadian Gaming Summit. And one thing I think that I've seen for the first time this year, now that SBC is kind of firmly entrenched, this is the second year you've co-hosted the Toronto event with the Canadian Gaming Association. And that in the past, or as long as I've been involved with the North America summits, there have been some panel discussions around Ontario and Canada, but it feels like this year you've been able to completely place that focus on the Toronto event. And I assume that's something you've done deliberately.
Well, what we've really tried to do with this over the past year is make it as big tent an event as possible. So our goal was to not only, you know, have commercial operators, have all or as many of the Crown corporations as possible, have First Nations gambling interest in there, casino interest, have the right. Community bingo, all this. So it's been, and we find out that there's definitely some friction among some of those. So that's been interesting to navigate, but you know, that's the intent. I mean, for me, if it's Canadian Gaming Summit, it needs to go across as many provinces as possible. It needs to go across as many of those sectors as possible. And so it's been a conscious effort on our part. And it's taken some education, because the system there in Canada is very, very different than, you know, a lot of other countries. So we've had to get educated on it and you know, learn the best approach for reaching out to these people. What is it that they want to hear about?
And one thing I would say, Sue, to that point is that, you know, we have a lot of listeners of this podcast from the U.S., from the industry there. And I do think, you know, there is a lot of value to those people to come to Toronto, because you're right, it is a unique marketplace up here. There's certainly different layers. You have a wide open market in Ontario with 49 operators, including OLG today. You have provincial lottery and gaming corporations across the country. You're absolutely right. There's Indigenous / First Nations industry as well. And you have a very vibrant gambling industry here with suppliers in Toronto, Montreal, Maritimes, British Columbia has a very vibrant gambling industry. Waterloo, just 75 minutes west of Toronto, is a big tech hub in this country. So there certainly are unique pieces to the gambling puzzle on this side of the border.
Yeah. And I do think it is there's so much opportunity there. You know, we're going to be looking at Alberta and some other, provinces that where there may be some changes, in the next couple of years, right, where they may open up more. So that's the sort of thing that we're trying to explore to get a sense of where that's going.
Yeah. And again, so just, a couple of highlights. Tuesday, obviously, the Player Protection Symposium will be front and center. And, one area where Canada does get a lot of plaudits from the industry is on responsible gambling. And Paul Burns is going to participate in a discussion with Catherine Germain from iGaming Ontario and Marie Noelle Savoie from BCLC on that day. And then on the Wednesday of the summit, Will Hill is going to moderate a panel of executives from lottery and gaming corporations from across the country. And as you mentioned, Sue, it is kind of strange, maybe isn't the right word, but it is an interesting dynamic in what we're seeing right now here in Canada. As you mentioned, there is going to be a panel looking at the evolution of online gaming in Alberta. And I'm looking forward to the panel I'm moderating on the synergies between sports organizations and sports betting operators, which continues to be a work in progress. So when you look at the agenda for the Toronto Summit, I think there's something for everybody who works in the industry.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, because we feel like in terms of the teams and the leagues, because they're an important part of that ecosystem too, as well as sports media. So, the intent is to try to bring as many of those people into one spot and have some decent discussions so that, we can move forward somewhat collectively. That's always my goal. It doesn't always work, but it's a goal.
You gotta get the old college try, as they say, Sue. Hey, Sue, you're someone who is very active. If you don't follow her already on X, / Twitter, you can find her at Susie Q Schneider, Susie with no E on the end, and also on LinkedIn. But you share a lot of coverage of the industry, Sue. And the one thing that I always maybe bothers me a little bit is I think these conferences are a great opportunity if you're someone who's working in mainstream media who doesn't cover in this industry on a day-to-day basis, that but you do get asked by an editor once in a while to write something for whether it's the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, here in Canada, the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail. I think there's a lot of value for reporters to come and spend a day at the summit and learn a little bit about the industry. And is that something that SBC's tried to do? Attract more media coverage? And if you have, what have those conversations been like?
That's a really good question. I mean, I'm not sure that we've done a lot of direct outreach. I mean, we tend to get like the gaming reporters for some of those kind of outlets that you talked about. But it actually is a really good idea to do outreach.
Hey, Sue, last question. And SBC getting to a place where with the Canadian Gaming Association to co-host this summit took a few years. But why is SBC invested in Canada? Why is the company committed to it?
Well, it's we just see the potential there. It's been set up a certain way in the past. You're seeing some of that open up more. So it's an opportunity for the broader industry to look at another country and another part of the world. I mean, this industry has gotten kind of increasingly global, where as consolidation happens, you're seeing, you know, probably fewer companies, but in more jurisdictions. And that's why you mentioned about compliance and how that's gotten more important, because, you know, some of these companies are in, I know even just within the U.S., we have some operators that are in like 19 different jurisdictions right now. So, and that's just in the U.S., much less globally. So trying to learn from each other and see what we did and what we did wrong in various parts of the world is really, really important.
Hey, Sue, I lied. I do have one more question. Hey. and that's just like, what, as someone who follows this industry really closely on a daily basis, like what is kind of top of mind with you right now in trying to move this industry forward? And as you said, it's a fast moving train. We kind of went from 6 years ago to PASPA being overturned to regulated sports betting in 38 states today. You know, legal iGaming, and I think six or seven in markets, and a real push to increase that number. And obviously, we see what's going on with in Canada. But what kind of are the things that either keep you up at night, or the things that you're really focused on right now?
Well, you know, in my early years in the industry, I chaired a trade association for like 8 years because I couldn't get anybody else to do it. But you know, I would like to see, and I love this word, more coopetition to be able to head off some of the things that may be coming down that are there, that are going to be inhibitors, whether it's things related to advertising, whether it's, you know, things related to, you know, how the technology is set up and things like that. I just see what's happening around the world, and, you know, we're getting the heavy hand put down on the industry more and more in a variety of ways. And I think when it comes to North America in particular, if we don't pay attention to that better and try to do things on our own, we're going to bear the consequences of that. So I don't think we can have enough discussions about how we can collectively can solve some of these problems on our own within the industry without having to have laws made that are going to just preclude us from doing any of these things.
Yeah, there certainly is a fear of overregulation one day, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sue Schneider is the Vice President of Growth and Strategy for SBC Americas. Sue, as always, it's a delight to chat with you. I'm always smarter after these conversations. I would encourage anyone who's going to be in Secaucus next week or in Toronto in June, if you get a chance and haven't met Sue before, please introduce her. She'll be all over the convention floors at the Meadowlands next week and the Metro Toronto Convention Center in June. But yes, Sue, so great to have you. I will miss one of the things I'll miss next week about not being at in Secaucus is having the chance to speak with you. But always appreciate your time and joining us on the show here.
Well, it's my pleasure. Really appreciate the invitation and the chance to talk about it.
That's it for this episode of the Gaming News Canada Show. As usual, you can find this podcast at gamingnewscanada.ca and on the various podcast platforms. Once again, we thank Sue Schneider for joining us this week, and we will see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Gaming News Canada show. Sign up for our newsletter at gamingnewscanada.ca. Follow Steve McAllister on LinkedIn. Message Steve if you're interested in being a sponsor or featured guest.